What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I'm JD Ross, broadcasting from the mothership. Please welcome my special guest today, actress Patrika Darbo. Patrika, welcome to the show.
Thanks, JD. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So how's everything going? How are you this evening? I mean, I think we talked a little bit off air, but.
Well, now that I've technically got myself on here and I'm sitting on my hands so I don't push a wrong button, I'm fine.
Say, yeah, everybody at home, you don't see the technical difficulties that sometimes happen, but they do happen.
It happens a little more often to some of us that grew up with an abacus. So it's
like, I don't think I've ever even seen a real abacus. So.
Let me go in the other room.
I love it. So tell everybody at home a little bit about you.
I live in Burbank, California with my husband and my dog. Mm-hmm. Friday, I start airing again on Days of Our Lives, which is very exciting. Yes, very exciting. Lots of words to memorize. And I've been doing this professionally since the 80s. Before that, I was a credit manager for 20 years.
Okay. So which one do you prefer? I'm assuming acting.
Definitely.
Stupid questions aside, right? Yeah.
What I'm doing now is, like they always say that saying, if you do what you love, you're never working. So that's where I am right now.
I totally get that. I love that. I love hearing that too. Like I love like when I get to talk to somebody who's really loving what they're doing. Cause like, you know, not everybody gets to do that. Not everybody gets to really enjoy what they do for a living.
No, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy.
Sure.
It's hard work, but I was determined and here I am.
I love it. So you mentioned Days of Our Lives. I'm going to be totally honest. I've never been one to be into soap operas. I think the closest I've ever come to being into soap operas would be like back in the 90s when I was into the WWE, like the wrestling stuff. Cause that's basically just soap opera with action. But so tell us how like you kind of got into the soap opera world.
Well, I was invited by Fran Bascom. She was the casting director. Mm-hmm. I thought I was coming on to serve beer and peanuts. And I ended up, as Tom Logan from TV Guide called me, the full-figured bitch goddess of daytime.
Full-figured bitch goddess of daytime. That's a pretty awesome title to carry.
It pretty is. I used to tell Christian Alfonso, she's like a size 2. I think she's even smaller, but I'm a size 2 also. She has a 0 on the front of the 2. I got a 0 on the back of the 2.
That's pretty awesome. Good. Yeah.
So you watch NCIS and things like that?
I've definitely watched NCIS.
Those are soap operas, darling. I mean,
That's true.
You get attached to your characters and you want to know what's going to happen to them. And they do little personal stories as well as what crime is solved. So yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the basis of television started here.
Love it.
We used to have 18 to 20 soaps going on all over, mm-hmm. and a lot in New York and here. And we only have 4 soaps left, though we have a lot of streaming now.
Yeah.
We have a lot of digital series going on, which are soap operas. So mm-hmm. I think it's a genre that'll stay around. At least I hope so.
Yeah. But you make a good point, too. I mean, like, you know, it's kind of like like punk music, you can't really totally define it, but like, you know, you kind of know it when you see it. But like, I mean, you could really say there's a lot of shows that aren't like traditionally soap operas that are kind of soap operas.
And Dallas, everybody was hooked on Dallas. Dallas was a big Dynasty. All those shows were your nighttime soaps. And there are a lot, I think. I am so sorry.
All good.
I'm so sorry. I can't even hang up the phone. There we go. Anyway, I apologize.
All good.
Well, I was saying, Dynasty, a lot of the streaming shows now are mm-hmm. there. You know, I did. I got an Emmy nomination from The Bay and from Studio City, which are both digital soap operas.
Yeah.
So, I think it's here to stay. It's just a different form of it that just keeps growing and growing.
Sure.
And the fans are the most loyal fans you will ever find.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Ever. And God bless them. I love each and every one of them. A lot of them have become friends over the 25 years that I've done Days. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
Love it. I do remember way back in the day, like some of my earlier memories, like when I was way wee, my mom used to, she was really into Days of Our Lives. I specifically remember there was a character named Victor. I only remember that because my mom, I think my mom had a crush on him or something, or maybe she didn't like, I don't know. I was too young to really.
That's John Aniston, and John is still with us. In fact, I've got a script over there that I've got to learn, or I have to keep polishing it because we get tested for COVID. And if somebody's in contact with somebody from COVID or is not feeling well, we have to, skip shows and go on to another show.
Yeah.
So, but John is still here with us, as is Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth. They're sort of the matriarch and patriarch right now of the shows. So.
Yeah. Now, is it intimidating working with them? Like, because they've been there. I mean, they've been there because this is like early 90s that my mom was into that. So, I mean, they've been there for a long time. So is that intimidating with them?
They really have, not really. I mean, they're warm, wonderful people. Nice. Their characters are not who they are.
Right.
And they're very kind, giving, and wonderful actors. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege to say that I've worked with John Aniston and Bill Hayes and Susan. Yeah.
I love it.
Deidre Hall's been there. I mean, they're all wonderful.
Yeah. So what do you think has like been, because you said there's only a couple soaps like that are still going, like, so like, what do you think is the staying power of like Days of Our Lives, for example?
The fans.
Yeah.
If the fans write into the network and that they weren't, you'd better not do anything. And they are, they're like an army of fierceness that comes at you. And without, on any show without our fans, where are we? I mean, if they're not tuning in and watching, then the network goes, cancel that show.
Lifeblood's gone.
Yeah, so it's not like the old days. In the old days, the soap sort of carried networks.
Yeah.
I mean, with the Procters and Gambles and those times were like incredible. And also in those times, they were a lot slower. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you sort of repeated a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And on the Friday, you summed up. So even when I started, one of the scripts would be, I saw him. The other one say, he was over there. I could see him the other day, so you just sort of repeated stuff that tied it all together. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, it's funny you say about the fans too. Cause like, it's like, it brings to mind one show that it only got one season, but like I was obsessed with it, and a lot of people still are. Firefly was on Fox, so it got canceled because everything on Fox gets canceled. But so I'm hoping that comes back one day.
Remember, in the old days, people had 23 or had like 40 shares, and that's how big the audience was. Now it's like two shares and stuff. So, and if you don't have a certain one going on, I mean, I think I had a young friend we have the same publicist, and he Michael Campion, he was on Fuller House, the new one. And, after
rest
they've
peace,
done
Bob
so
Saget.
Much, and, nice man, it's all subscription. So when subscriptions start to go down, then it's bye-bye to the show.
The new version of ratings.
So it's, they have to do things like that. So it's, you get attached and you're like, I just wish when they decided to do that, they would sum it up.
Yeah.
They would give us a nice, decent closure.
Right.
So, but that isn't always possible and stuff.
Yeah. So. And I guess the suits probably don't care about that as much. So,
no, it's all about the money.
It is a business. So, I mean,
it is a business that you got to do it that way. So, it's crazy. I think the soaps are the hardest business I've ever done, or show stuff I've done, because we shoot a movie script a day. Mm-hmm. It may be piecemeal because we're doing different shows, especially now with COVID.
Right.
But when regularly we would shoot a movie script a day.
Wow.
Whereas if you're doing a film, you may shoot 3 pages a day.
Yeah. If that.
You get a couple shots at doing the lines and doing them what they want, unless you really screw up. So it's crazy. And when you're doing a sitcom, the script you get on Monday is not the script you shoot on Friday.
And because they go through and make all the changes throughout the week.
Sometimes the second show is even different than the first show you tape. And then they re-edit stuff all together. So it's a crazy business. But like I said, it's what I want to do. So I really don't work.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you haven't really like worked for a couple decades now. That's
for a while
awesome.
There. Yeah. A couple of number of decades.
Yeah. So how we mentioned about COVID. So like what have been like the challenges, like getting like, you know, getting things rolling with that, like still raging? Well,
every day when we go in, we get tested.
Yeah.
If we've been off the show for over a week, we get tested in the morning, and we have to wait in our dressing rooms until we're cleared. And sometimes that's a couple hours.
Right.
So otherwise we get, we just go, if we've been there and they don't suspect or we don't have any symptoms, and
right.
excuse me, then we just go home, go in, get in wardrobe, hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I guess the hardest bit, like I said, I've got like piecemeal shows.
Yeah.
Two days last week I went in, and unfortunately somebody tested positive that a couple of the actors that I worked with were close to.
Ooh.
So therefore it was like, Patrika, we're sorry we dressed you up and got you in hair and makeup and wardrobe, but you need to go home because we don't have anybody for you to work with today.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's you know, and then those people have to go home and quarantine for 5 or so days. So
yeah,
it's, you know, and like I said, we have, you know, Susan Hayes and Bill Hayes and John Aniston, and they're a little older, so we're very protective of those
kids. Yeah,
they're protective of all of us, but some of them that are a little older and need to be watched out for, and they're
right.
very good about that. Yeah,
yeah. Well, so they, I guess they would have to kind of get creative, like if they can't get the shots they need for that week, I guess they would have to get creative with the storylines with that.
No, see, we're 6 months ahead. So what they do is they just put this script over here and go to this script. Then we'll come back to this script.
That's smart.
We'll go over here and do this one. They'll finish this one up over here. And, you know, since we've had COVID, what, we're going into the third year, right now, I guess. I don't know. I've been in prison too long.
I know, right?
Days of Our Lives has really been the one show that was current because they are so far ahead. They didn't lose anything. They could keep showing fresh shows every single day.
Yeah. So did The Bold and the Beautiful do like kind of like didn't do as far ahead as far as like filming?
No, they're usually like about maybe a month ahead, just 1 month at that much. So
yeah.
And Y&R and General Hospital, those are the other three shows that are still here, but they're not as far ahead as Days is.
I feel like that's a smart move. I mean, because 6 months, it gives you a lot of wiggle room if you really.
Well, they
need
have
it.
A lot of wriggle room here with that going on. So you know, I think the only problem is that the writers have to like be going like this. Because it's like they can't. What the hell? My hair just did. They can't fix a story if it's 6 months ahead. I mean, the story's already been shot. So.
Right.
It's kind of crazy and stuff like that. And my storyline coming up is going to be a wild ride. And it is.
Okay. Are you coming back to the same character you played before?
I'm playing the same character. Cool. I have my daughter is the same. My husband is the same, but it's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be, I think it's very inclusive and part with what's going on in the world right now. So it's going to be exciting.
That's definitely going to resonate with a lot of people then.
Oh yeah. Okay. Some are going to like it and some are not going to like
it. Some people might hate that they love it.
That's it. You know, but again, it's a story that needs to be told. So.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about the upcoming
story?
Not a damn thing. I love it.
I can't tell you anything.
I always have to ask.
Sworn to secracy.
No problem. Keep the cards to your chest. That's cool. Keep your secrets. That's cool.
You have to.
I love it.
It's like that. So
yeah.
It's exciting.
Love it. So you also got to play, you played Roseanne Barr in a TV movie about that. What was it like getting into that role? Because that had to be fun. I mean, that had to be a blast.
You know, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, the hardest part for that for me was the fact that I didn't want to be a stereotype.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell her story as the writers had written it.
Yeah.
I ran into her one time. She said, I liked what you did, but you cried too much, though. So she was very kind to me. She was not kind to the actress for Fox that played her. Mm-hmm. I guess Stephen, who played my husband on there, he has since passed away, Stephen Lee. And but he was wonderful. Yeah, so as Tom Arnold.
Yeah. Love it. That was, yeah, I always like Tom Arnold. I can't, when I think of Tom Arnold, I can't help but think of True Lies. He plays like the best sidekick ever.
it's true. And if you, the things he's doing right now are very, very much a good sidekick and stuff like that. I think Roseanne was a creative genius of the things that she did. And I'm sorry that things have not gone as well as they should have and could have, but sometimes you open your mouth and you shouldn't.
Well, it's kind of a strange culture thing anymore. I mean, you know, like if you say the wrong thing, everybody just sort of turns against you. They forget like all the stuff you've done or, you know, they just find a reason to not like you.
It's so interesting. I was watching Finding Your Roots on PBS, and Anita Hill is one of the people they're finding her roots. And if she made the claims that she made then today, he'd be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's how things are happening. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's crazy.
How do you feel about that? I mean, as far as like, you know, with the way the world is kind of doing that or reacting.
Well, as a woman of age and stuff, I remember working in the, I told you I had a job before that and working in the 70s. I can remember that when you went to work, you must be in a dress. You must have pantyhose, have a second pair of pantyhose or hose in your drawer so that if you get a run, you can change them. We need you to look this way all the time. It was crazy. And it wasn't until the mid 70s that we were allowed to have pants suits. It had to be a pants suit. You couldn't wear just pants, you know? So there are a lot of things that happen and you could, in the office space, you could see, you know, somebody saying, come into my office and chasing you around the desk and stuff. I mean, you know, so we've come a long way to protect women. And I think that's terrific.
I agree.
But we've all, at the same time, we've all also come a long way to protect men. Mm-hmm. So it's when we have inclusivity, I love the fact that we have diversity and inclusivity now, that not every role has to be white. Not every role has to be fully they can be more diverse. In fact, if they're disabled, and I don't like the word disabled because they do a lot more things than we can do it sometimes. So.
Oh, absolutely. I used to be a caretaker for a kid that had, it was muscular dystrophy and autism. And it's just like, you know, you don't really think about that kind of stuff until you're in it, you know, like around it. And like, you know, just, I mean, people would kind of just like kind of shy away and not really want to, you know, really, you know, interact like they should.
It's crazy. My stepdad was a little person. And he was only 4'2", but he was known as the biggest little man in baseball because he held high position with the Milwaukee Braves, Atlanta Braves, but also started with the Boston Braves. So he was there a long time. Nick Nowicki runs so many great things right this moment. He's a wonderful stand-up. He's about, I guess, maybe 3'8", 3'9", wonderful stand-up father. And also he works a great deal with Easter SEALs. My friend John Lawson lost his hands and arms below the elbows to an electrical accident years ago, but he has two hooks and he is an amazing actor and sings like an angel. And he's going to be in the new Pet Cemetery coming out. So.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, so I work with so many wonderfully talented persons, not just on the soaps where they're terrific. And you don't watch it, but Eric Martsoff and Nadia Bjorlund, they sing so beautifully. Yeah. And they put some of that into the show and stuff. So I love the fact that the writers are using people to do things like that. Kevin Spiritus, who plays my husband, brilliant singer. He's done so much on the show too, was on Broadway. He has his own show out that won a lot of Emmys called After Forever. So it's kind of like being in an office. You have people that you work with that are terrific. You
know? Yeah.
So, and one of them is Martha Madison plays Belle. Her daughter will be the president one day.
Okay, cool.
It's crazy. I mean, it's wonderful. So
I love it. I love it. So you've also done some film work, like some, you know, more mainstream stuff. I know at one point you were killed in a bank by John Malkovich. So how was that? I mean,
you know, that was a little scary because it was definite violent murder.
Yeah.
But John was so wonderful and he made sure that he knew that when he was Mary Van Arsdale was the my roommate at the time. She was the one that got slammed into the wall before he killed me. So she's dead. Then I'm dead. But he had to break my neck. And he made sure that it was, you know, we're going to do it on 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Not 3, but 1, 2, Three.
Go.
So
yeah.
So there, no one could get hurt and stuff. And I was doing a stage show at the time, and one of the girls that was in the show was a theater student at UCLA, and she said, "Patrick, if I don't get to meet John Malkovich, I'll kill you." So,
anyway, did she get to meet him?
Yes. I asked if I could have a guest on this thing. And then I asked John, would he talk to her? Because he's a big theater person. And she, yeah. that was, you know, we were in a show at that time, and that was her major. And he spent a couple hours while we were waiting for the setup.
Yeah.
To talk to her about theater and how cool. important and stuff like that. He was wonderful. And it was funny, interesting, because he was friendly and talking. But then when they said, John, we're ready for you on set, he went like,
and just got totally into character. Oh,
totally went into who he was. I mean, it's just as another actor watching another actor, he was just.
I would say it's got to be like impressive to watch.
It was. And that a lot of the kids that I mentor and teach and stuff, I always say to them, you know, listen, pay attention.
Yeah.
Even when you're not on camera. So watch, you know, learn everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep your ear to the ground and be open.
And no matter what, you be kind. Be kind.
That's good advice for anything.
whatever job you're in. So
yeah. I love hearing that he's a nice guy. Like I love like when you got a household name, I love like, you know, like hearing about how they are in real life. And I'm finding that like I'm hearing a lot of good. Like, and that's giving me hope for humanity, to be honest.
I mean, I've worked with some stinkers, and I won't mention sure. names on that part, but
sure.
Because I'm kind.
Right.
But you know, there are times, and you know what? And even at that point, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
They're, you know, so again, be kind. That maybe they're just having one bad day. If they screw you over two or three times, then you can kind of go,
that's a pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's and then you're kind of like, mm-mm,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
You know, not yeah. me, obviously.
Right.
So anyway, I didn't get to work with Clint Eastwood in that film, but he liked the scene that John and I did in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me to be in, excuse me, mm-hmm. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. So.
Nice. So you got to work with him in that. So how was that?
That was terrific too. I mean, yeah. that's great. I've, you know what, I've worked with, I did, now my name, I can't think of a name I want to tell you right this moment. Oh, I like this. Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I love Pierce Brosnan.
He was wonderful. That was fun, and just a small little part, but fun. And what's his face with the mustache? Is that now in the new 1887?
Sam Elliott?
Yes, got to work with.
So, I mean, like the mustache made me think. I was like,
that's all I could think of was the mustache. Like, and I'll be that. And you know, the guy that plays the cop, the mustache.
Yeah. So it was either going to be Sam Elliott or Tom Selleck. So
I haven't gotten Tom Selleck yet, but I'm waiting on that one. So.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Sam Elliott, because I love that guy.
It was wonderful. The film was called Hero, and mm-hmm. it was a small little part. But again, there are no small little parts because they always lead to something else.
Right.
But he was kind and gracious. And again, I always ask if you know, like with those kind, you're kind of like drooling, going, "Can I have a picture with you?"
Like this. Yeah.
And both of them kindly let me have a photo with them. So.
That's awesome. I totally get that starstruck vibe because like, when I was younger, we used to go to concerts all the time. We would always just kind of wait around for the, you know, by the bus and just try to meet everybody. And I remember the first couple of times I was so nervous, like just like, cause I'm just coming out as a fan and like, you know, they're used to it. And then there's just me like, "Hey, I'm a big fan. Can I have your autograph? Can I get a picture with you?"
It's like, well, I think I don't know. Are you a country fan? Is that why?
No, I'm more of a heavy metal fan, if I'm being honest.
It says country something on the thing, and I went, "Is this a country?" I didn't know what we were doing. So, yeah, I don't. I'm a little old for the heavy metal stuff.
So. Yeah, that's okay. I grew up on it, and I've always loved it. So,
and it's funny. Sandra Bullock was wonderful. I got to be directed by Sidney Poitier, which was a tremendous loss by all of us, and or for all of us, and. So, I mean, I've really worked with some great people. And again, like I said, most everyone has been kind. There are that few stinkers, but yeah.
But more, it sounds like there's a lot more kind than the stinkers, though.
I think so. I feel it's that way. I think people need to realize that everybody gets up in the morning and puts one leg in one hole and one leg in the other hole. And we all go to the bathroom.
Yep. That's a fact.
None of us don't go to No. So yes, and when you go there, everyone. So when you're starting to feel you're a little too big for your britches, just remember that. I mean, that's my philosophy.
I love it. There's definitely a chance that at some point I will be feeling like I'm too big for my britches. So don't. I will definitely keep that in mind. I have a tendency to do that.
I will come through here. I will hit Philadelphia in the spring or the fall. I'm not coming in the winter at all.
So, let's say I'm safe for the moment, but once the snow is gone,
I'll keep my eye on you. So.
I love it. I love it. Well, not to put you on the spot, but who would you say is your favorite that you've worked with?
Huh. And that's kind of hard. I mean, as I said, I've worked with so many wonderful people. It's really hard. You know, you like working with Jason Patrick, you're going, I'm working with Jason Patrick. Like that kind of thing. Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock over here.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe played the most evil person in Speed 2, but such a nice man.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's like those things are fun.
He plays crazy very well.
Yeah, he does. At one point, who else? I can't pick a favorite. I've just been so lucky. Listen, working on Step by Step with Suzanne Somers and Patrick Duffy. You know, I still talk to some of the kids and them. As Patrick and I were having cocktails a couple months ago.
That's awesome.
So it's like, so yeah, I mean, I'm just very blessed in what I do and who I get to know and work with.
I love it. And I feel like, cause like you definitely put out a very warm and kind vibe yourself. So I feel like that definitely helps with that.
Well, thank you. I just, it's easier to be nice and smile than it is to just be a poop. That's a fact.
Too many people decide to do that.
it's so much easier to be kind. Tell the truth, be kind. Don't, you know, so much easier. Yeah, so much easier.
Absolutely. So do you prefer film or do you prefer like the TV side? I imagine they're both a little bit different.
Well, it's interesting because I think I said, I get confused as to what I've said when I'm running my mouth, but we do shoot a movie script today. I think I said that already.
Yes.
So that's a lot of memorizing, a lot of hard work in one day. That's not just me saying the words. That's the wardrobe people, the makeup people, the crew trying to keep things, the cameras, the directors, the producers, all of that is a package.
Yeah.
On a film, we may only shoot 2 pages a day. Mm-hmm. You know, so memorizing this, your brain is a muscle and I'm using it a lot, which is good. It's especially at my age, it's healthy.
Yeah.
So, but in a sitcom, excuse me, that, you know, it's only about, you know, 50 pages, if that much. And and the show you shoot on Monday is not the show it's not the show you finally do on Friday. And sometimes the show, I think we said this when we were talking earlier, sometimes that show in the
just totally changes.
Totally changes from one show to the second show when they do it on the same day. So it's I love working. Again, it's not working. So I think at my age though, I'd prefer a little sitcom.
Yeah.
So that I could just sit, maybe I can get this done in a minute.
Yeah. So, love it.
I'm just with, and commercials. I do commercials. I have two commercials running right now that have been very good. I'm doing it all. I'm having fun. Voiceovers.
Nice. I wouldn't mind doing voiceovers myself. I feel like that'd be fun to do.
It's a real hard thing to break into. I mean, So I would say, you know, watch as many cartoons as you can. Try to get as many voices that you can and find a good producer that puts your tape together. And then you just start sending it off to people. And, you know,
I might at some point look into doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you're a radio guy right now, so to speak. And even though we're on camera at the same time. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So listen, if you can dream it, you can have it.
That's
for
a fact.
Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't have your own dreams. Never.
And that's how I've like kind of approached this whole like project of doing like podcasting. It's, you know, just like, and it's been a real passion project too. So it's just, I've really fallen in love with podcasting. So I definitely,
there are so many of them out there. I mean, and there are some that are little and, you know, in Philadelphia by yourself, some are big, enormous things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Bob Saget had his own who recently passed away.
Yeah.
There's so many people that have bigger, I mean, it's amazing.
Technology has really allowed like, you know, anybody to like really put something together.
Well, not anybody. People have to be able to push the right button.
That's true.
I won't be having a podcast. I can't have a podcast unless I have a totally technical, wonderful person.
Right?
The tech person has to be brilliant. I can't. Mm-mm. No. Now listen, my hair would turn gray overnight. So. I don't care how much bleach I have. I wouldn't be able to get rid of all of it.
Gonna like break through, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. As I'm speaking, it's getting gray.
Just thinking about it.
Oh.
I love it. So what advice would you give to somebody who is looking to break into acting? I guess it's way different than it was back when, you know, when you first did it, but what would you say like is the best advice? You could give?
Oh, sorry. When dinosaurs ruled the world, it was it's a lot easier. It is hard. The most important thing I'd say is get that education.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, you don't have to go to college to get that education. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to, it's the best place, but to be in a good theater department so that you're mm-hmm. working and you learn every aspect of it. You learn how to make your costume as well as build the set you're going to do yeah. it on. You learn all of that. But be involved with a theater group or something that, and don't sit in a bar and wine, as I always say. Mm-hmm. Get out there, take classes, work with other working actors, and just know that it is the biggest rejection business in the world.
I believe it.
Don't take it personally. You just may not be tall enough. You might not be black enough. You might not be white enough. You might not be male enough. You might not be female. You know, it has a lot of times you would not be in the room for an audition if you weren't talented. The casting director is not going to put their career on the line if you're lousy. Right. So know that it's not a personal thing, but there is a lot of rejection. So, and you may audition for, you know, 40 things before you get one.
Yeah. But sometimes that one can make all the difference.
All the difference. It's the opening. Sometimes being in the right place at the right time. So, and be nice to everyone along the way, because this actor today could be the producer tomorrow, or the casting person today, or the receptionist at the casting office could be mm-hmm. the next casting director.
Yeah.
So many things that we've done since COVID is all done. The technical person here going, I hate it. Are on Zoom. My auditions are on Zoom or I have to film them on the iPhone. And I have an Android, so I just have to get somebody.
I have an Android too. I prefer Android.
We should have a lesson afterwards. Anyway, so I get it. I have to film it on the Android. Then I have to drop it in a casting office place. So it's hard. And everything is very fast in this business. So mm-hmm. even though I've got 5 scripts over there with days that I'm polishing everything up, mm-hmm. I had an 11-page audition yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn that too, on top of everything else. So. It's crazy.
It sounds it, but it sounds exciting. I mean, that's awesome.
It is exciting. And like I said, I never work. So
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. So Days of Our Lives fans can expect some really intense stuff coming up with that. So that's exciting.
You betcha. You
love it. I love it. So where can everybody else find you?
Well, Twitter, I'm Patrika Darbo, and Instagram, I'm Darbo Patrika. For some reason, I have 2 Facebook accounts. I don't get the whole thing there, but it's just Patrika Darbo. No A, no nothing, just Patrika Darbo. Perfect. And I think I have too many fans, so I can't I can't accept any new friends right now.
That's
so
a good problem to have.
Please don't take it personally. Please don't take it personally.
That's a really good problem to have.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I love it. Well, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you coming on. And I wish you the best. This has been phenomenal.
Thank you very much, Jade. And I wish you the best. And I hope you don't freeze to death over there in snow country.
Will.
It's cold as, oh God.
I probably will.
Put on your warmy warms, baby.
Yep. I love it. Well, thank you so much. You have a good evening.
You too, doll. Take care.